his life before conversion, and he says, "I thought within myself." Then you go down a little farther and you realise who he gets his authority from. And at that particular point, he got his authority from the scribes and from the Pharisees. And in Matthew, you read of them that they were people who said to do things, but they didn't do them themselves. You come to 2 Timothy at the end of Paul's life, the last book he writes, and instead of "I thought within myself," he says this. He says, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able." Where was his authority from? His authority came from this lovely Son of God, the eternal Son of God, the one who never said and didn't do, but it says of him, doesn't it, all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. What a contrast. What a contrast. Saul of Tarsus, just thinking within himself, very limited, very refined, very, very narrow, to the wonders of the extent that is revealed to him was the truth of the gospel, the wonderful riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "I know." And he was following one who, what he said, he did. It's lovely, isn't it, this afternoon, just to come together, and we just would like to just bring before you something of the work of the Lord in Angola that we've been just involved in the last year. Now, I've been here just over a year ago, I think it was, so we just want to update you, really, with the work in Angola and some of the believers in Angola over the last year. So we'll do that. That's it. It's always nice when it works, isn't it? Right. I'm sure most of you here know where Angola is. It's down there on the coast of Africa, on the left-hand side there, on the west coast of Africa. You see there the population, the country size. It's a big country with the language of Portuguese and the local dialect of Chokwe. Right, I did that too soon. An average age of 50. Just an average age of 50. It has crept up, from what I understand, from the things I've looked at. It has crept up a little over the last few years, but there we go. Just a little update, really. We visited from January to March, Ruth and myself and B.B. Cadman. And then in June to August, we visited with Matt Jenkins and a brother by the name of Brian Murray, who is from up in Wales. Really, we just want to deal with something of the Kumanabala school, the leper colony. The house we use is our base when we're there. Beulah Hall, a future water project in Beulah. Some little bits on Luma and the work among the local assemblies and other workers there. So we'll deal with that as we go through. It's just a picture there. We're grateful for those who come and help. Over the last few years, we've been encouraged by the numbers who have come to help us, and we're grateful for the help of Bibi when she was out with us for the early part of the year. Just really to go straight into some of the projects we're involved in, just as we are involved in, but we're involved in them because our sister Ruth Hadley is. Ruth has responsibility with others for this leper colony. I think it is 17, it's either 14 or 17, I can't remember exactly, lepers there now. The number has gone down, but these people live in that little leper colony there, just about half a mile or even less than that from the little village of Kumanabala. In Kumanabala, you have the village at the top, nearer the road, and then as you work your way down through, you have the gospel hall. Opposite the gospel hall, you have the school. And then you come down a little bit, you have a workshop, then you have Brian and Debbie's house, and then you come down a little farther, and you have a little house which we've just managed to do up a bit, and we use that as our base. And behind that is a place called the Internato, which is where believers stay when they're in visiting the area or in that village for weekends of ministry and other things. And just below that, a little farther down, about half a mile below that, you have this leper colony. And again, please pray for the people there. In that leper colony, there's lepers in some of the houses, and in other houses, there are believers. Some of the lepers are believers, but there would be couples throughout that area who would be living there amongst these lepers who have been housed there. This particular man is the chief of the lepers. He's the chief of the lepers down there in the leproseria. He's totally blind. He has very few fingers left. His toes are very gnarled as well. He's a leper, and he lives down there amongst those people. He's the so-called chief of that little leper colony. He's a believer in the Lord Jesus and would meet and be in fellowship in the local assembly at Kumandambala, and most Sundays and most times that the saints would meet, he would be there meeting with the Lord's people. You know, it's quite humbling to sit and to, you know, even to shake him by the hand. It's, you know, just to shake a fellow brother who's a leper by the hand is something that wouldn't have been done years ago. But, you know, it's lovely to meet with them, and to there would be a number of lepers in the assembly in Kumandambala. Now, I've probably said it here before, but I love to, you know, I quite often think when I'm looking across at them, or perhaps you're having some time with them, of the Lord Jesus as he handled them, the leper, freely in Mark 1. I've never forgotten going to the Science Museum. I wasn't generally used to going to the medical section, but I married a nurse, so we were spending some time in a medical section in the Science Museum, and just walking through way back, you know, around the time of the Lord was here, they just had some implements that were used to feed lepers. And, you know, I've never forgotten it. There was a fork, it was about 6 foot long, and a spoon about 6 foot long, and that is how they fed lepers. What a contrast to the Saviour. You know, we can't overemphasise enough, can we? The loving kindness and the tenderness of our Saviour. And you see it as you just move amongst these people, and you see our sister Ruth Hadley with the responsibility every month for providing food and different things for these men and women. Again, please pray for our sister Ruth and these people as well. There you can see, there's a, just outside of a little leper's house there, you can see him in the background, there's a disability slope being put in. Again, these houses are being modernised slowly, and this is a little disability ramp that's been put in to help him get up into his house. And again, these lepers, it's quite challenging to spend some time going through those areas and seeing how they live. Just one of the houses, just as an instance of how they need to be done up. That's one that has been done up, new tin sheets put on the roof. He's even got a gutter on that one. There you can see it's draining into a barrel on the corner. It's got windows and it's got a door on it. Again, the bottom's been done all the way around. You can see the piles of rock on the left. That rock has to be put in under the foundations because there's a lot of erosion. So on every one of those huts, this has to be done. So this is a continual, ongoing project done by a number of the local believers. We don't have much to do with the actual doing of it. They would do that and they get on and do it. So it's good that they're able to do this. And Ruth, while she's there, and when she's there, would really be overseeing the doing of this. I'll take you now to just a little assembly just up the road from Kumandambala, Katela Sekembe. We were there in January, just meeting with the believers. This is on a Lord's Day morning before the meeting started, just in this little assembly in Katela Sekembe. Lovely believers in the Lord Jesus. Again, many of them not able to read, and just it's a privilege and it's a joy to be able to meet with them. You might wonder why all the white blobs are on the wall. They don't have a lot of paint, but that is really, that's where the flies, they have like a wasp, doesn't sting, but a mud wasp goes in the wall and they bore holes in it, and then they cause really the place to fall down a lot quicker. So they don't have too much paint there, so they've just done the holes to stop these wasps going in and out. But again, these we meet in a number of places with the believers, go to a number of little villages. I know our brother Brian, he would go farther out into other places, and you go into these little assemblies where the people of God meet, and it's a privilege to do that. This is just afterwards, outside of the assembly at Katela Sekembe. A lot of the children, it's good to have the children there, good to see them, and they'd be around a lot in that area. In contrast, you come into the town. This is Chizinga. This is where a number of the brethren we work with are from, so we tend to visit it probably once during our trip, our trips in to Angola. There's a number of brethren there we would spend a lot of time with, working in the building trade and doing the building work. And also there's several teachers in Ruth's school are from the assembly in Chizinga. You go there on a Lord's Day morning and there'd be somewhere around 250 in fellowship at the breaking of bread, and then a little later on for the gospel you could add at least another 100 to that. And it's a full little hall there. You can see they've got tiles on the floor, very different to the bush. But again, in Sarimo there'll be a large number of assemblies like this who are just continuing with the message of the gospel and the preaching of the gospel. You know, Chisinga is one, is a place, it's just not far from the centre of town. Sarimo has grown, a bit like Luanda, they have grown a lot. And you find as you go out of town on the road past Chisinga that there's a Chisinga A and B. It's grown and they've planted another local assembly a little farther out. And again, they've done that the same. So as you go out of town, you go out of town and you go into different barrows or different villages. There's a village called Baghdad as you go out of there. It was set up and put in along the time of the military invasion out in Baghdad. And so they named this whole area of Sarimo by the name of Baghdad. So you've got all these different places, different assemblies as you go out of town. I want to tell you to come in Nambala now. We've been privileged, really, this little house that's been around for some time. It's been there, if you look in the book with it, I think it's African Leaves. It's actually in that book, and that it's not how it is at the moment, but Sister Jean Park was there many years ago, and this was put up for her. It's a house next to Brian and Debbie's. At that time, it was thatched. With no ceilings or anything in it, but we use it as our base when we're there. Ruth Hadley also uses it as a base. It's not far from the school, and she would use it every day as a base, and when she needs to sleep out as soon as Kumanambala and spend time there, she would use it as a home. Also, it's used for believers who are passing through. The couple, Juan and Adriana Palacio, from Luena, their doctors down there, they would use it when they're passing through the place to sleep down the night. That's how it was. And again, we've just been involved over the last couple of years. I can't remember what slides I showed you last time concerning this little house, but we'll just go through them. Again, it's good to use as a base, and our sister Ruth uses it. You can see there, that is it as it stands at the moment. Behind it, there's that building with the red roof and the white wall. That is what they call the internato. That is where believers would sleep when they visit for the weekend. At the present time, it's being turned into a dormitory. It's going to be a dormitory. Just behind that building and behind the little house where we live, there is a moment this week, in fact, Ruth's been getting the guys she has worked for her to put in the foundations for a little house. A little house for two house parents, a couple from the assembly, in one of the assemblies in town, to come and live in, so that they can look after some of these little children who come from the bush. There's children of believers out in the bush, and they are unable to have any education, so that they are coming in from Monday to Friday, or will be when this is set up, coming in from Monday to Friday to sleep in this place just behind the house here, and they will sleep there Monday to Friday, and then go home at weekends. Well, that's the idea. So you can appreciate they're going to need someone to look after them. So there's a godly couple from the town. He suffered a stroke a little while ago, but he's quite fit and healthy, really, at the present time, considering compared to what he was. He's very good at agriculture. He's very good in that sort of thing and in practical things. And his wife's a godly sister. I know Ruth Hadley values highly. Would do great work among the women in that part of the country, and she has agreed with her husband to come out and be house parents in this little place. Again, it's not built yet, the children aren't there yet, but please pray that God will give help and order and that this might be set up. It'd be a big benefit to those little children of the believers out in the bush. When we were there in January, we didn't have any water in the house, and it's always nice to have water rather than just having it in drums and buckets. So we set about putting in a water tower. This is our brother John, who we work with, just to show you some idea. It's very sandy soil out there, so digging's quite easy. Just some idea of what we're doing. You can now get a ready-made block, which is quite a good thing. It's quite nice to be able to go into town and buy the blocks from the Chinese. There's Chinese, and I say everywhere, there's a lot of Chinese people in Sarimo. They've set up industry there, making blocks, and selling different things. And you're able to buy blocks for under a dollar a piece, which is actually cheaper than over here. And they're quite reasonable blocks too, so we're grateful to be able to get hold of them. Again, this is just John in the process of building it. It's good to have some scaffolding. Again, the Chinese have bought that scaffolding in, so it's good to be able to have that and use that. Again, we're just trying to heat our own water. We haven't got it quite right yet. It needs a bit of alterations on it. And that is about 7 reels of 25mm black pipe. You reel it round and round and round, and with the sun on it, it heats the water for you, which is quite good. But there's a few problems with it. It's not working at the moment. We've got to sort it out, and I haven't sussed it yet. Hoping to in the next few times that we're over there. It's just a picture of water in the sink. It's nice, you know, having water in the sink. Take it for granted, don't we? It's even nicer having it in a shower. For the first time, I think it was when we were there with BB, it's the first time we were able to put water through and into a shower. That makes a difference as well. Just some idea, the location in the area of Sarimo has changed over the last, since we've been going in since 2007. It has changed. You could get none of this stuff in 2007, but now you can get quite a lot of different materials. This guy on the left here, he would be a Muslim, Senegalese, come down from, and there's quite a lot of come down from North Africa, Muslims who are now operating builders merchants and builders selling building stuff in Sarimo. You walk into a builder's merchant, or before you walk into it, you look above as you walk in, and on the left-hand side it says diamond buyer, and on the right-hand it says builder's merchants. And you walk in, and over the same desk that you sell diamond, or you could sell diamonds over, you can also buy nuts and bolts. Don't get involved in the other side of it, because I don't think we'd be allowed in again if we were caught doing that sort of thing. So we keep well clear of that. But these people are here, many of them just literally using, I think, the builder's merchants to cover up, really, and to overshadow the selling and buying of diamonds. Some of them speak English, which is rather nice, because most of the people out there don't. But again, they're devout Muslims. And you might pray again, because there's a number of mosques going up in Sarimo. It has been evident, you can see it, the approach really of Islam into that part of the country. I know when we were out in Tanzania with Stephen and Jill, just visited them a few years ago, it amazed me, you know, the presence of Islam. And you can see it since we've been going into Angola, the increase there in that country. But we are very grateful for the for things like this. You see those boards there, those boards over here wouldn't cost you too much, but over there one of those boards would cost you about £125. You could put £100 really on top of each of those products. It's very different. You have to, it's a job to know what to send out and what to buy out there, because by the time you put stuff in a container and sent it, sometimes the price isn't too different, but the quality over there is a lot inferior to over here. So again, you've got to be wise. But it's good to be able to actually find the stuff out there, because before you weren't able to. Again, we're involved more in the practical side of things in out there. You built the workshop, as you can see there, and that is what we're involved in the practical side, helping Ruth and Brian and others there with the work in a practical way, just seeking to take off of them some of these practical jobs. It's good to be able to do them. I was welding burglar bars up there, and you can see here that's BB painting a set of burglar bars. There they are, and you know, you might say, well, why do you need them? Well, we were back here in Christmas, Brian and Debbie were back here as well, and so was Ruth. This little house, it got broken into. It's not unusual. Every place out there will have these burglar bars on it. Ruth's house has, Brian's. They all have burglar bars on them. So when we were there in January, we went out there not intending to do this, but we went right through the whole place and put these burglar bars on. Involves welding them up, then digging holes in the wall, cementing them in, so you've got a secure window, and then to the doors. The doors, it's not just good enough to have doors out there, they all have to have burglar bars across them. You can appreciate this sort of thing takes a long time to do right through a house. It takes several weeks to do it, but it's nice to have that secure now, and two, to have it painted. Phoebe spent most of the time out there with a paintbrush. She's got quite good at it, actually. Don't tell her, will you? But no, it's good, and it's now a lovely little base, and you feel quite at home there. It's nice to have a base to come back to, and a place where you've got hot water, and a place where you've got a shower. Might be a bit of a change, but I thought there might be some children here. It's good to see you. Lovely to see children, isn't it? You know, that is what we're used to over here. Nice sweets, all different sorts. You don't just have to be a child to enjoy them, do you? I still do. But you know, out there, there's a lot less sweets. You go into a supermarket and you see a box of Mars bars, you buy some quickly, or you think about buying some because they are a lot more expensive than over here. But you can occasionally go into Nossa Supla and find Crunchies and Twix and Mars bars come up from South Africa, but not very often. And you won't find too many sweets like this, but you do find that they eat different sorts of things. It's some children on an evening and they're just gathering ants to eat. They would eat ants just like you and I would eat M&Ms or Smarties or Jelly Tots. You can see them there. That's with one of their older brothers. There they are. They're flying ants and they eat them. They're very, very high in protein, very nutritious, and the children eat them by the handful. Now, I've eaten a few. They're a bit wiggly. But, you know, they eat them a lot. I think there's one more picture. Let me just go back. One more picture there. They would eat large amounts of these ants. And you go out in the evening, just as it's getting dark, and they'll have their little covers over these holes where the ants come out, and they would eat large numbers of them. Very good for them. I don't eat too many. I try and keep healthy when I'm out there, and you're a bit worried what they might give you. But just for the children, it's good to eat them. I know Luke Howden, Luke and Alex eat them. They've eaten them for years, I think. But, you know, it's very different over there. It's nice to put some pictures in like this just to give you some idea of the difference and how they live over there. Roads are different. We've shown you these pictures before. This is the main road from Saremo to Beulah, equivalent of the M4, M3. It's particularly wet in the wet season, and you know, particularly rough. They are improving all the time. They are starting to do some work on them, and we're grateful for that because it makes a massive difference. You do meet problems. This is going down to Beulah. That's Ruth's Land Rover. That concrete mixer was upright in the back. But I'm not going to say anything about Ruth's driving. Ask Matt afterwards. No, Ruth puts her Land Rovers through a lot. They have to go through a lot. There's a lot of work to be done out there. They're not to be looked at, and they do work hard. But again, that had fallen over. We were just behind, and so we had to undo it, put it back on, and weld up the concrete mixer when we got there. If you look at on the top of the Land Rover, there's a that's full of petrol. That was in the trailer, but that sprung a leak, so we put it on the roof. It does make things smell a bit, but you have to do what you can out there. Petrol is quite precious down in Beulah. You can't buy it anywhere close. It's 250 kilometres back to Saremo to buy your diesel, to buy your petrol. So you tend to preserve it. And we managed to rope that up on there. And that's just spending some doing that with them there. I went away for a brief minute and came back afterwards, and they'd roped the trailer to the roof rack of the Land Rover. You can appreciate if you rope the two together, you have a bit of trouble when you turn the corner. So we had to get them to unrope it and to carry on. Again, it's just things you take for granted, having used vehicles and used trailers a lot. You understand these things, but they're very good. These three, Juan on the right, and then on the left in the black T-shirt is Nongwena. The near one to us, I think, is John, and then the one behind would be Alfonso. Lovely brethren, all from the one in the red in the middle, at the front, he's from Kumanambala. The other three are from the assembly I showed you earlier, the Chizinga assembly. And we would work largely with these four brethren while we're there, working with them in the building line and in other jobs. Great to have them with us. The one on the right, Juan, he's been out of work for a long time. Two, the one on the left, Nongwena, is desperate for work. And we arrived back there this time, and he'd had no work since we left. And Ruth contacted him and said, did he want some more work? And he jumped at it. So it's good. I find it really hard sometimes when you get there and you get different ones coming up, brethren you know, who say, have you got any work? You can't give work to everybody, and these brethren have no work, many of them, so it's good to be able to give them it while we're there and teach them. You know, I love, there's a brother there called Langella. You'd have heard Brian speak of Langella. He worked in the building of the school. I've probably told you this here, but if I haven't, forgive me. He works in the school. He worked on the school, building the school. And after 2 years of working with us, Ruth gave him a certificate in the education of building by Ruth Hadley. And again, we listed on it the things that we taught him, the building skills that he'd learned, and then she got a rubber stamp out. Again, it's nice to be able to tell you these things. She wouldn't mind. She has a rubber stamp, a drawer with this rubber stamp in it, and it's very impressive. It's got like an eagle on this rubber stamp, and then it's got her name on it, and it looks very official. And when you're in Angola, if anything's rubber stamped, that's it. No one asks any questions. So she rubber stamps the certificate for Langella, and he goes off and gets a job with a government builder, and he's still in it today. That happened several years ago. So, you know, it's not just the actual building that they do for you. It's teaching skills so that they can go on and get other jobs. And I find it really encouraging. He's been building a school near Kumanumbala for the government, and he's still doing it. He was there when we were back there. And I just find it encouraging when you can help in a little way and help him with employment so that he can build the school at Kumanumbala, but then can go on and support his wife and family. And that, I think, is perhaps what I enjoy, one of the things I enjoy most, is when you see progress and people like Carlito, another brother who we've worked with in the school and has done a lot of plastering for us. He goes off all over the place now. He's plastering in places like Luena. So again, it's good when they can go on with skills that they've learned and support their own wives and families. Again, we're still mindful of the past in Angola. It's a country that has, you know, as you meet families and people, they've all suffered as a result of the war with the loss of loved ones. And you can just see, and the one there, Bibi stood there on the opposite side of the picture, there's a little red stick. That would indicate don't go any farther. That's down by the river in Beulah. You have these signs regularly, or not too regularly, but every now and again by the road that warn you of the possibility of mines. There you can see, that's just beside the road. Actually, where we had that concrete mixer, it's just opposite that. These little sticks indicating where they're involved with the clearing of mines. And you don't really, you know, it looks quite nice there. You'd think that'd be quite a nice place to walk down into, but you don't do that. And again, it's a place you would keep away from. But they are slowly clearing a lot of these mines. Here's an Angolan team who were removing mines when we drove by them. Back in early part of the year. And that was it was about 10:30 in the morning, and that was what they had achieved so far that day. Those are anti-personnel mines, little ones, but they're particularly deadly. There are other ones as well, anti-tank mines. But, you know, it just does remind you, you do not go off the side of the roads and wander around where you please. And again, of course, that has a reflection on things like agriculture. If you want to go and plough up a field, you know, you can't just do it like that. You have to find out, you know, who's been there in the past, and local knowledge really is vital. So this again causes problems in itself. There we go. I'll just take you back to that side. Beulah Gospel Hall. This is a picture from years ago in one of the books on Angola, with the couple, George and Ina Wiseman. They were instrumental in putting up this hall years ago. You can see it's got a thatch roof and pillars down the side. It has changed since there. You've got different views of it. Now you can see it's in quite a bad state of repair. And you know we've been involved in the rebuilding of that. It's taken longer than anticipated due to the fact of health problems, really, and not being out there as much as we intended. But the Lord knows, and his ways are right, aren't they? So back some years ago, we started the building of that. That's Brother Stephen Richardson from Jarrow, who was back with us then, just helping to dig out the foundations, or mark out the foundations for the local brethren in the starting to build that hall. You know, it doesn't look too bad there, but the tops of those pillars are all rotten. The water goes down into them, and it's only a matter of time before they fall down. It's quite an interesting place to sit and remember the Lord, or be in the gospel meeting in a windy day, because the sheets make a lot of noise above your head and the rain comes in. And it's quite concerning sometimes. Being down there, and again, I don't know whether I showed you these pictures in the past, but you can't have seen all of these. These are just, when we're there, you have to make our own bricks. I've just said that you can buy bricks in town. That is a recent thing. And two, it's also right near the town where we are in Kumanumbala, 15 kilometres out. So when you're working near town, you can use concrete bricks. But to load up a lorry and take those concrete bricks several hundred kilometres on those roads that you saw, you'd probably end up with just rubble when you got there. So we make our own bricks. We have this brickmaking machine that Brian got sent up from South Africa some years ago, or came into Kumunabala some years ago, so we make our own bricks. Again, it's not just, you have to find the right soil. The soil with a certain clay content, they give you the tests to do on it to find the right soil, so you do that. Then you have to dig it. Now, this is digging in the dry season. It's been dry for some time, and it's pretty hard work for the believers here. Again, just these believers in Beulah, they would work every other day. They would work every other day due to the fact that they're not able to work every day because they don't have the health to do it. Not physically able to do it. Now, Matt will tell you, and he was there with us this last July, that, you know, some of the brethren we were working with in Beulah, it's quite sometimes quite saddening to see their physical state, and yet when you see their keenness to participate and help in the building of the hall, it's quite humbling, and we're privileged to be able to work with them there. So there'll be a number who would help us in the building making of blocks. There's the block making machine, a really good little tool. You just put it behind the Land Rover, tow it to where you need to go, find the right soil, and then you start making bricks. Now, it's good to have Bibi there. She did something for me that I've never done. Just take you through how you make a brick. And we've seen the soil dug, that's unloading it. We don't at present have any machines to unload, to dig and to unload. But that is what you have to do. It's all manual. You put it in the top of the machine. It's her own personal brick with a name on it. They have to water them. They have to be watered for up to 6 weeks, morning and evening. Otherwise, they crack. This is just part of the making process. So we did that earlier in the year. Done it for a number of times now, being down in Beulah making bricks. What happens is we set them up to make the bricks, and they'll be around. We're going on with welding and other things in the area while they're making the bricks. So you can get on and do other things, but it's just part of the work there in the building of this hall. We half filled the gospel hall in Beulah up with bricks because they needed to be in the dry, but they still had space to meet. You can see there in the front of them. That's the new hall as it was left. Again, it's very, very different to the old one, but it's slightly smaller, but it's gone up quite well. Again, the local brethren, while we've been there, the local brethren working with us, putting this up. The four I showed you before, who come down with us from Saremo, overseeing that when we're there. Again, it's good to be able to get on with that project. There they are, the four of them. While we're there, it's good to travel with my wife, Ruth. She has more Portuguese than I do have. She's done very well. And she's just taking the children, and that's outside the little house we live in there in Beulah. And she's doing Bible stories there with them. It's not difficult to get a crowd of children to sit and listen when you're out there. Very different perhaps to over here, but it's good opportunity with the gospel. Again, there's a small medical post there. Again, my wife Ruth and Bibi were involved there back in January. Ruth is there most times when we're down there. She would be involved in that work in the medical post. That's a little boy who was born when we were down there. This is the wife of Carlito, lives in the Leproseria, is in fellowship in the assembly. She's a lovely sister. This is her little, one of her little children. With malaria. Again, I don't get involved in this, but it's good, isn't it, when you can work together in different areas. And again, here's Ruth just seeking to help and meet a need down in that little leproseria area. You know, it's very challenging, you know, I find it so, when you get there and someone, all they want is a couple paracetamol. How much do a packet of 16 paracetamol cost you in Tesco's? It's a few pence, isn't it, really? And you know, that is what they're after. And people like Lengela with toothache, real bad toothache, come to you and ask you for some paracetamol. And these little children, you're able to get now, go into town, and the two Ruths went into town and managed to find some infant paracetamol to give to this little girl, I think it is, so that she could be helped. And it's quite a regular occurrence out there, malaria amongst these children, particularly in the wet season when there's water everywhere, muddy puddles, that side of things. The level of mosquitoes rises quite highly, and along with that, the level of malaria. On that note, we use tents, malaria tent, oh, not malaria tent, mosquito nets. While we're out there, they're a pain to put up and down, but they are good. It's not just for mosquitoes, it's for snakes and scorpions as well. It keeps all that sort of thing out. So it's good to have those and to use them while we're there. That's in a little hut in Luma Kasai, one of the little huts there that the believers have put up for us. When it rains in those huts, it's phenomenal. You can't hear a thing. It is absolutely deafening, because when you get a heavy storm, there's no ceiling. You also get wet because there's holes in them. But that doesn't matter. And daily living's so different out there. Like if you speak to Ruth, she'd tell you that it has changed. That, you know, actually living, it takes less time now, but it does take quite a while. You have to, especially down in Beulah, you have to bring all your diesel down in drums. It's not the cleanest of diesel. Then you have to prime pumps and get it out and sort it. It all takes time, and you end up smelling of diesel. Not the aftershave sort that we like over here. The smelly old stuff, and you end up smelling of diesel the whole time you're there. And it does, it seems quite refined when you go back to Beulah, and it's a lot easier, not to Beulah, to Kumandambala rather. Again, just a picture of the small generator we have down in Beulah and are using at this time. There is another generator being provided for Beulah, which should be able to run all the things that are required down in Beulah, but at the present they're sat in a workshop in Kumandambala waiting to be taken down. We've got to build a small generator shed for it. You can't leave a decent generator outside, it will go missing. So that is another project we have to do when we get down to Beulah, God willing, in a few days, is to put that shed up so we can put the generator in it. Again, if you want your breakfast, it's different. This is just people opposite us in the house at Beulah preparing their meal. Baby took these. It's good to have other people taking pictures. That's the little home we stay in, built by George Wiseman in Beulah. Remained largely intact during the war, and it's good to be able to stay in there. We put tiles on the roof, or a lot of tiles were missing. We've managed to put the tiles on the roof, and it's quite a nice little place to stay. You know, it's quite a strong little house, and again we've just sought, and I know Ruth has, we put burglar bars on it, windows into it, so it's now quite secure, and it's good to have it as a base. That's it from another angle. You can see out of interest the fir trees. You can tell that Scots missionaries were there. You can go through from, you can drive everywhere around, and other than Beulah and Luma Kasai, you won't find a fir tree. But when you go to Beulah and Luma, you find avenues of them, where the Scotch missionaries obviously took out seeds and planted them, and they have these avenues of fir trees. This is the house next door to that one I just showed you. It's got a basic asbestos roof, no ceilings in it. It's quite dilapidated inside, but again, there's a need for that to be done up. There's those who express the desire and exercise and have an exercise to go out to Angola. And again, these houses, they need to be got to a standard where they can really be lived in. At present, there's no running water in that place, but we're in Beulah. We'll go into that in a minute. That's it from another angle. Looks all right. But that is out of interest. That is where Ruth Hadley, that little blue door, it was different then. It was thatched when she was there. When she first went out, that is the room that Ruth had for a number of years. Just that little one room on the corner in that house. She shared it with Marjorie and with Doris. She had a little room in the corner there, and that is where she started her missionary life in Angola. So Beulah has a large part of Ruth's heart, and it's good to be able to go back into that place and put some of the stuff back as it used to be. You can see there's work to be done in there. That is as it was left years and years ago, when the missionaries left during the war. Most of the pipework, all the electric cables, they've all been taken out. They're just some of the things that are left. Travel is different. We've told you about that. That bridge there, it stood beside that while we were sucking water in, stood beside that, and the whole bridge dropped about a foot, both ends and in the middle, when that lorry went over it. And you can see some of them don't make it. That is one the previous week that had gone off. That was full of fuel, and it just went down the river. You might get in trouble for that over here, but not over there. This is a little village between Beulah and Lumacassai. I love this trip. This road was cut through by the missionaries, David Long and George Wiseman. They lived about 70 kilometres apart. There's a little track, native tracks for foot, but they cut this road through so that they could have fellowship with each other. And again, this is just on that road. This is a new village that's recently been built. You can see the state of the housing in that area. This is between Beulah and Lumacassai. And in this little village, there is a little assembly of God's people. So it's good to be able to go through these villages and see these Chokwe people. Lumacassai, the assembly down there in Luma. Lovely to go into that place, a place with tremendous history, really. History of those who've been prepared to give their lives for the Lord Jesus. I haven't got the slide this time, but you know, there's a brother by the name of Cuthbert William Taylor. I've shown you the slide here, I know, before, of his gravestone down there on the banks of the Kasai. He and his wife and children lived there, took the gospel to the Chokwe, learnt the language, put the language down into a written form, and then gave them the word of God, taught them to read. Tremendous, tremendous sacrifice, and yet a tremendous vision as regards to the things of God and the giving to this people, the life-giving word of God. And that's gone on and goes on today. You have sisters like Ruth and other local brethren and sisters as well who've given their lives to the things of God in that country. And Lumacassai is a lovely place to go, that suffered a lot in these last few years with the elders at Luma. Please pray for them. It's good to pray for believers, fellow believers. They've suffered a lot. One has been murdered, a number have been beaten up, some have left because of threats against their lives by the village chief. Please pray for the believers in Lumacassai. And on that note, please pray for Peter Daly. He's a brother from Montana in the USA. I think he might have been here, actually. Is that right? Yeah, he has. Peter and Louise Daly, they're both across at this present time. Really enjoy fellowship with Peter and Louise while we're out there. He's out there at this present time. I've got tremendous admiration for Peter. He turns up in Surima or wherever he's going, and he'll disappear for 3 or 4 weeks. You won't see him. You won't see him at all, and then he'll come back quite a bit thinner and sometimes quite sick. But, you know, he just eats what they eat and spends time with the people of God. And he has an exercise at this time. I think Ruth's either taking him down today or tomorrow with his wife, and they're going down to Beulah. They'll be based in Beulah for a number of weeks going in to Lumacassai. It's a particular exercise as regards to the suffering and the pain, really, that the saints in Luma have endured over the last little while. And he's an exercise in that area. So he'll be there for up to a month. I think he comes out at the beginning of November. So we should meet up with him in Beulah in a couple of weeks. He'll be there, I think, some of the time that we're there. So please pray for Peter and Louise Daly, for their protection and for help to be given to them. While we're in Luma, they have problems sometimes with the water system. We were back there in the early part of the year. This is just get involved in one of these pipes, the flange on the end, the threads are gone on it, so we had to take it off and renew it. Again, it's good to involve all sorts. That's Afonso on the left and the children on the far end holding the pipe so that we can get the flange off of it. You can see it's pretty overgrown in that part. You do have to be careful, and we thank the Lord for his protection when you're working in that sort of place a lot of the time. You go where the locals go and you take their advice. It's working on the ram, one of the pumps there, just working on it with Afonso. You can see on the left-hand side by that spanner, we were working there, and a few minutes later, he pointed this out to me and killed it within a few seconds. There's a little snake while we were working there. You do have to be careful. And again, the Lord is very good. And just working on the pipe, you can't see the pipe there. We have to take that pipe out when we're back, and the next time widen the gully and redo all the pillars. They're not strong enough, not man enough for what is needed. So we have to redo that when we're back there next time. You see, that's the flange. You can see the leak. They're very good at mending things. And if you can get a bit of inner tube and some string, they can lash it up, but it still leaks. It's still not providing the amount of water it should do. So we've sent a new one of those out, so we'll be able to put that on next time we're there. Again, the importance of water in these villages, you can't overemphasize it, and you can't overemphasize either the testimony that has in itself. If someone puts in a water system and then supplies not only their house, not only the school, but also the whole village can come and get water as well, it makes quite an impression, and I think it's quite a good testimony for the local believers to be involved in this sort of work. It's a privilege to do. I, for one, would not like walking 2 kilometres to get my water every day. I'll just take you, we're going to go into June to August 2013. This is the last trip we made. We'll go through these quite quick with Matt Jenkins travelling with us from Winchester. Now come Bran and our brother Brian Murray, who is from Johnstown in North Wales. That's the toilet in the lodge when we got back. That was perfectly normal, perfectly lovely when we left in March. When we come back, the ants have been at work, and that is the sort of thing that happens in your house. So you had to clear it all out. It's good having your daughter Abigail travelling with you, because she's good at clearing things up. Again, you can see the hole there in the wall. So you have to take it out and put a concrete block in. There's no concrete in that whole wall, but there's one block in the wall now. No, that's the lounge walls. They come out of the lounge walls. It's just a picture of the termites in the wall. That was about half inch deep right across the floor when we arrived there. All the flying ants that had come out of the walls and out of the floor in our absence. It's interesting, we took them outside to chuck them away, and the kids just went for them, ate them all. They'd been dried there on the floor for months, and they just took them all and ate them. Yeah. I knew they ate them fresh, but I didn't know they ate them dried. But there we go. Just other things that you come across there. Again, that spider is absolutely harmless. Wouldn't harm you at all. Rather large, but is harmless. This chap on the right, he would harm you. I think they call it a mamba. You have to be careful. That fellow, he was just outside our house when I went out early one morning. He managed to kill him with an iron bar. The Lord's very good, and you know, it does make you aware of the things that are around you. Just to show you really how it is, this is a bushy-tailed rat that our brother Brian travelled with us, and he ate most of his Mars bars, which we shouldn't find amusing, but he got quite upset about. But we managed to catch the culprit in the end. When we arrived, there'd been a delivery from Luanda. You can see all the goods from Luanda that have been sent up. A lot of that is Ruth's stuff and our stuff, and some of Brian and Debbie's all been sent up. And most of that, when we arrived, we went through and sorted. That takes quite a time. Matt will tell you that. It takes quite a while to sort all that sort of thing and get it put away. But that was one of the first jobs when we arrived. He sent out a mobile generator. This we made in the workshop at home. It's a Lister generator, a 9 kVA generator, put it on an axle and enclosed it. And so you have like a mobile workshop to take with us to Beulah. That's just getting it down off the lorry. We fabricated the hall roof, the Beulah Hall roof, in the workshop before we left and went down there. We're grateful for Brian with his help and all the cutting work, and then Matt doing the painting, myself the welding. It's good to be able to work together in these things. That's putting it on a lorry. That's probably one of the most amusing half an hour of my last trip out to Angola was watching them organise the loading of that lorry. I'm not fluent in Chokwe. I don't know too much Portuguese, and it was quite an interesting thing to watch the Angolan brethren and the lorry driver loading the lorry and getting it ordered and put on. We had to overrule in a few things because we didn't want things bent when they arrived. But that is finally, at the end of it, it's just ready to go down. There's things on the way. We pass this on the left. That's cement on the bottom of the lorry. And then mattresses, just foam mattresses. The whole of the rest of that lorry on top is foam mattresses going to Luena. Again, it's the old hall and the new one. Just starting work on some of the metalwork for the new hall. Finishing the building and commencing the roof. Local brethren, as I've already mentioned it, do an excellent job of plastering. This is George Juan, Alfonso Nonguena. Fantastic job of plastering, and it's good to be able to leave them with that job. And they get on with it while we were doing the steel fabrication of the roof. They also help when we need things lifting. It's good to have them there. Matt's still painting. It's hot doing that roof. It's hot painting it. It's hot putting the roofing sheets on. It's the middle of their winter out there. It did get up to 40, so you can still appreciate it's quite warm. Putting that, you can't touch the tin to put it on the roof. Again, this is something we couldn't get a few years ago. That's a 6 metre length of roofing tin. It's not too thick, but it's not too bad. You can now get that red plastic coated sheets of tin, 6 metres long. So you do away with a lot of joins, a lot of hassle. So it's good to be able to use these products that are now arriving in the country. We look, God willing, to return on October the 11th. I understand that they've levelled the floor out there. So we look to go back, and there's doors and windows, and to finish that hall off, God willing, this coming autumn. There's Ruth again, this time with some of the children. Abby and Ruth visited. This is a sister in the assembly at Beulah in the wheelchair. Spent some time with her while we were there. Just some of the things that have been sent out. I think there was a little baby in that house, and Ruth and Abigail took these things to her. While we were there, Matt was destructive. This is an old workshop put up by George Wiseman that was falling down. Has a lot of useful tiles on the roof. All that wood is mahogany. It's in really good condition, so you don't leave it lying around. And the children were using it as a climbing frame, so we thought we'd take it down. Ruth wanted it taken down, so we took it down. Matt took the tiles all off. Then we pulled it down with a Land Rover winch. And then just knock the walls over. But all that wood and all those tiles are now stored for future use. Again, that sort of wood is difficult to get hold of now. It's very expensive out there, so it's good mahogany for future use. There's Matt with his helpers who took down, again, transporting the old blocks of that wall that I just showed you to be laid underneath the gospel hall floor to bring the floor level up. And again, there's nothing like... Well, it looks to be nearly 20 children there to help you moving blocks. And again, it's good fun. You've got to be careful. They do like clinging hold of the Land Rover, and you do have to be wise. But it's good to have them to work with. Again, these little children, it's good to give them things for their help. And we would tend to give them a small length of nylon fishing line and some fish hooks. They really appreciate that sort of thing because they can go out and they do catch themselves some fish and that sort of things. Just again, picture of Matt this time. It's good taking people with you now, younger people who are stronger than you. You can, I'm not sure whether it's use or abuse, but it's very good having them with us. Just picking up water. Everything is burnt in the dry season in Angola, and that's just a fire right opposite us where we were loading up water. So Brother Alfonso, when we go back, God willing, we'll be starting. And again, we're not sure how much work we'll get done on it, on the water system in Beulah. It's the start of the rainy season. If you're concrete in and blocking outside, sometimes it rains every day. It rains every day for 4, 5, 6 hours. You can't get much work done. So again, we really judge it when we get there, the Lord's help, as to how much we do on the commencement of this water. This actually is a photo of George Wiseman years back putting in the first ram into Beulah. That at the present time is not working. It's no good. This is how the saints and the people in the village get their water. You find these little holes at the bottom, little tiny holes they cut in the dirt, and they go down and they get some water. You can see there, it's pretty manky looking stuff. That is their water supply at this present time in Beulah. That's the old ram. You can see it there under the water. That's the old one. It's been there for years like that, years and years during the war. It's of no use now. We look to take it out and knock the surrounding thing down and start again with a new one that's been supplied. It's been in Beulah for about 9 months down there waiting to be installed. So it'd be good to get on with that project. How do you do it? Well, that is the bottom of a hill, a valley. If you can see the far side, you can see that raised land. It's a similar thing, this end, and the mission station will be on the top of the hill. You go down into the valley, and in that valley, around the side of it, you can see just here, it's very dry, and just a little bit farther on, it's green. That's because there's little springs all along there coming out of the ground. And you find that that's right the way around that valley. So in the middle of that valley, you find that little bit of water still there, right at the end of the dry season, and that is where we site the new water system. Again, well, we're back in Cumanabala now, we're nearly finished. Involved in fencing there, we have a number of things sent out. They need to be kept secure. So we got some of the local brethren doing the fencing with us while we were there. Again, Ruth wanted this bit put on the side of the lodge as well. There's Matt. Container bases. We have a container that's been on its way out for some time now. Last Monday, it finally arrived in Cumanabala and was put on its bases there. We'll just touch on that a little in a minute. So it's again Brian just preparing things he's going to fill with concrete to put the container on. We had a new generator. It wasn't a generator in the lodge, so it's a new Listapetta generator. It wouldn't go in the shed, we knew that, so he was involved in building a new one last time. We had to take some bits of tree down before we did that. They love climbing trees, far more than I do, so we let them do it. You can see there, that's some honey they found in one of those old trees. I've often wondered how John the Baptist got on in the wilderness. He said he had ate locusts and wild honey. I've often thought he must have been a master at not getting stung. But you know, this is honey from a fly that lives along that part of the earth, part of the world. It's a harmless fly and it produces a lot of honey. And the brethren and all the children get very excited when you find that honey. And this is made from a little fly that is totally harmless. And they really enjoyed that honey. Just the building of this generator shed. Again, we can't really emphasise enough, we work with, you're not doing a project on your own, we're mainly working with local believers and just enjoying their company really, and getting some of these jobs on Ruth Hadley's work list out the way. You can see there, that's Matt just digging a trench for the electric cable across to the shed. It's Matt with Afonso and Juan in front of the generator shed. When we go back, God willing, our brother Brian has overseen and a local brethren have put up that leper hall on the leper colony where they would meet for their daily bread readings. That needs to have a roof put on it. At present, it's standing like that. And God willing, that will be one of the jobs we'll be undergoing and doing. When we're out there next time, we'll be just cutting all the steel, welding it, and then taking it down and putting on this small hall down at the Leperseria. So that will be a project for this coming autumn. Again, if it's raining a lot, it means we can get on with it in the workshop. You don't waste time while you're out there that way. Let's go back, sorry. That's just part of the shipping container we've sent out. It's an agriculture container. Everything in it's really related to agriculture. This is just putting a tractor in it. There's a number of things in it, basic agriculture equipment, right, everything from a plough right through to a number of seed drills. There's a small digger, and there's also a tractor. Most of it's been taken to bits because you can get more in that way. So you have to take the wheels off. So that's just lifting the tractor in, and Matt is steering it into the shipping container. That's it full. And we give God thanks that it's arrived safely in Angola. I think it landed on the 3rd of August, and it's just got to, it landed in Luanda on the 3rd of August, and it's been in the docks for getting on for five weeks, but it's now through the docks, and it's in Kumanabala. So we're grateful to the Lord for that. Again, there's several weeks' work involved unpacking that container and putting the stuff together. Just to make mention again, Medical Missionary News, we're grateful to the Lord for them, for their help, for their willingness. And again, it's really a matter of stewardship, because you can buy new goods through Medical Missionary News. And because it goes straight in the container out of the country, you don't pay any VAT. So again, it's tremendous benefit, and they're great to work with, and we appreciate what they do. There's a picture of Tony. You can see some pipe work in there, and also some boxes of books. That's just a picture of a shipping container, in not the one I've showed you, but part of the workshop is a shipping container, and it's just some of the things we've sent out and we store over there. My wife says she wishes I was as tidy as that at home. Just bring this sister to your attention, Eren Cardoso, lovely, godly sister, living in a place called Kavungu, in the middle of nowhere really in Angola, left Luanda, left a nice, really nice place in Luanda, and gone into the bush to serve amongst our own people. Please pray for Eren, a godly sister. It's just taking stuff to her with Ruth Hadley when we were there a couple of times ago. State of the roads on the way to Kavungu. The houses, you know, very, very, very basic houses in Kavungu area compared to where we are in the Bula, Luma, Kumanabala. The houses will be a lot more substantial than they are here. These people are living on a floodplain, and malaria, again, is very, very high in those areas. Again, these are the people that Eren is working amongst. There's a house. You know, she's in her early 60s, and she's a very good builder. She's very able. She's built that house there, really, in the middle of nowhere in Kavungu. She has her own flour mill. That's Eren's flour mill in Kavungu, where she mills different sorts of flour and then sells it. To support her work, she's built a school. She's built a small medical post there as well. When we visited there, we visited this place, and there's a sister, not this particular sister, but one of her relatives, just takes in children. I've probably shown you this here before, but I can't remember. This is a lady who was left really to die, accused of witchcraft, thrown out of her house. And a little girl who was born, and her mother died, and the family didn't want her. They were going to bury her with her mother. And the particular lady, Sarah, took her in, took the baby in, took this lady in too, into her own home. And she has 7 or 8 little children that she looks after. And just in the corner of the window there, there's that little phrase, God is faithful. You know, it touches your heart when you see the love and kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ in these believers out in that area. I should never forget the Sunday afternoon that we went there. It was quite touching place to go. Please remember Ruth. Again, 400 students in Kumanabala, 70 in Kwasi Makweno, 30 in Beulah, 180 in Luma Kasai. That's quite a handful if that's just your only work that you're involved in. But it's far broader than that. Our sister, please pray for her and her continued work in Angola. There's a school. Lovely to be there and to be around that school. The teaching of the gospel, free to do it. Lovely to have the input into those children. While we were there this time, Ruth wanted some input on the wall of the school, so Abigail was with us, and she was able to just put this on the wall. John 3:16 in Portuguese. You know, there's very few halls, very few places in Angola where you see the Word of God displayed. And this now is on the side of the school, the side of the Cumanabala school, John 3:16 in Portuguese. A lot of people use that road every day. So we just pray that God will bless his word. There's a school, just go through quickly some of these teachers. Please pray for the teachers. They need our prayer, they need God's strength as they continue in service for him. This little school in Kwasi Makwena recently set up by Sister Ruth in the gospel hall during the week. Teacher there, Sergio, please pray for him. Lovely brother. It's just the school little shop in the school in Cumanabala. Please pray for Alfonso and Albertina. I've spoken to you about Alfonso, his six children of his own. I'll be quick. He's six children of his own. His brother died a year and a half ago, who left six children, so he took them on as well. That makes 12. And then his wife's sister died recently down in Luena, and that little girl there with her baby's holding, and a little baby were left. No one wanted them. So Alfonso and his wife have taken those children in. They have 14 children now, eight of which are not their own. So please pray. He's a lovely brother. Worked with him a lot of the time. Very fond of him. And please pray for Alfonso and Albertina. Just to go through, just briefly, Ruth Hadley in Sarimo, Cumanabala, and other places as well. Brian and Debbie, based in Cumanabala, please continue to pray for our brother and sister. Again, with the spread of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God in that country. So vital to those places where there's very little written word and very few can read. This couple here, Manuel and Isabel, haven't spoken about them, recently left Beulah, and they leave quite a gap there. Please pray for this couple, a godly couple in their service for God. Irene Cardoso, we've mentioned her in Kavungu. Juan and Adriana in Luena, the Palacios, across here recently, a couple from Argentina, both doctors, lovely couple. Please pray for them. Tremendous workload again in the work that they do there. Paulo and Raquel Elvish from down the south of Lubango. Again, they're from Brazil. Please pray for that couple in their service for the Lord. The elders and believers at Luma Kasai as they continue in their service for him as they continue there. Peter Daly, again, and his work that he does. Please pray for our brother and his wife, Louise. Marjorie Beckwith, back in Canada. Served the Lord for over 50 years in that country, but still involved in literature work. Putting literature from English into Portuguese and Chokwe. Please pray for our sister. You know, she must find it hard being away from those she loves and those she served for so long. Please pray for this couple, Samuel and Elizabeth. They finished their Portuguese studies. They're now back in Zambia. Their visas are submitted and they're waiting to come, God willing, into Angola. Samuel and Elizabeth. He's a doctor. At the moment, I think they're in Chitokoloki. I think that's the right place. In Zambia, waiting for their visas to be granted. Please pray for them that they might know God's wisdom. There are a couple from Canada. There's another couple as well, Joel and Kylie. From Canada, who are in Portugal, learning the language, and are God willing, looking to go and serve the Lord in Angola. It's encouraging, very encouraging, those ones who have a heart for the work of God in Angola. I think that's the last one. Yeah, we'll leave it there. Again, thank you for your interest. It's lovely just to be able to bring to you some of the needs, some of those who are serving the Lord there, locals as well. It's good to just introduce you really to them. You know, I've really enjoyed recently, it's a phrase that a man by the name of Hudson Taylor used. He said, it's a matter of fact that prayer, it's a matter of fact that prayer is a transaction of business with God. Prayer is a transacting of business with God. And I find that challenging. And it's good just to bring to you some of these dear believers and dear workers of the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon that we might pray for them and support them in that way. Thank you.